إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن ولا بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we are looking at the ayat relating to Surah Al-Baqarah on the subject of earning halal, the ayat relating to the issue of interest and interest-based earnings, lending and borrowing on interest, ayat from 275 to 279. Few clarifications that I want to do today so that there is no confusion in the mind. One is, like I said yesterday, the principles of Sharia as far as halal and haram are concerned are independent of time and place. Zaman aur makan ki qaid ke bina ये जो हलाल है वो हलाल है और जो हराम है वो हराम है. हर ज़माने में हलाल है और हर ज़माने में हराम है. हर मुकाम पे हलाल है और हर मुकाम पे हराम है. जो हलाल है वो हलाल है और जो हराम है वो हराम है. इरिस्पेक्टिव ऑफ टाइम एंड प्लेस, समथिंग विच इज़ हलाल इन इंडिया डज नॉट बिकम हराम इन अमेरिका, समथिंग विच इज़ हराम इन अमेरिका डज नॉट बिकम हलाल इन हराम. वेयर एवर इट इज़ इरिस्पेक्टिव ऑफ टाइम एंड प्लेस, वॉट इज़ हलाल इज़ हलाल, वॉट इज़ हराम इज़ हराम. So also with regard to time, something which is halal in 1900 does not become haram in 2000. The same thing remains halal or haram, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has specified. And I gave you some examples yesterday. And in that, the most haram of the haram is interest-based earnings. Second issue that I think needs to be clarified is the problem with English translation of the Quran, where the word riba is translated as usury in brackets. Now, usury refers to a high rate of interest. Now, the translation itself is wrong, because if you look at the Arabic meaning of riba, the Arabic meaning of riba has nothing to do with the amount of interest. So, whether somebody is charging 1% or somebody is charging 1000%, it is still haram. If you look at the meaning of riba, and if you look at what Rasulullah ﷺ said, he did not say that a little bit of interest is okay, don't charge too much. Interest is haram, period. Whether it is 1 cent or whether it's $1 million, it is haram. So that's the second important thing to understand, because people bring up all these arguments. They will say, no, but it, you know, it's a low rate of interest. It doesn't matter. If it is interest, it is interest. Khalas. It is not a question of low rate or high rate, any rate. And the principle in this is the same thing. The principle of the Sharia is, what is haram irrespective of quantity. Pork is haram, 1 gram of pork is haram, the whole pig is haram. So you can't say, well, I didn't eat the whole leg. No, what is haram, 1 drop of alcohol is haram, the whole bottle is also haram. So you can't say, no, I had only 1 peg. No, what is haram, right? Zina is haram, doing it one time is haram, doing it 10,000 times also haram. So somebody can't say, well, I did it only once. No, what is haram. So please understand, the same principle applies as far as interest is concerned. Small amount, large amount, low rate, high rate, makes no difference. Third thing is the argument of the issue of what is called Darul Harb, Darul Aman and Darul Islam. Now, first and foremost, these are not istilahat, these are not terminologies that are related with haram and halal. These are more cultural and literature related, literary terminologies referring to the conditions under which Muslims live or have lived in the past. So in terms of sanctity of the Sharia, there is no correlation of one to the other. Now, just for your information, those who need the translation, Darul Islam is a place in which the government is Muslim, the law of the land is the Sharia of Islam, and Muslims are living there. So therefore, in such a place where the law of the land is the Sharia of Islam, is interest halal or haram? Haram, obviously, because Sharia does not permit it. So where the government is Muslim and the, please understand, just the government being Muslim is not sufficient. You can have فار ایگزامپل ٹیک پاکستان، دا گورنمنٹ از مسلم بٹ دا لا آف دا لینڈ از سیکولر لا، اٹس ناٹ دا لا آف اسلام، سو اٹ از ناٹ دارالاسلام. اف سمبڈی سیز دیٹ پاکستان از دارالاسلام، آئی ووڈ ڈیفر ود دیٹ بیکاز اٹ از ناٹ. سو فار دارالاسلام دی کنڈیشن از دیٹ دا گورنمنٹ مسٹ بی مسلم اینڈ دی لا آف دا لینڈ شوڈ بی دا شریعہ آف اسلام، اینڈ مسلمس آر لیونگ دیئر ان پیس اینڈ کمفرٹ and safety. Now obviously in such a place interest cannot be halal because it is haram Islam. The second place is where what is called Darul Aman, which today refers to practically everywhere where Muslims are living, whether it's India or European countries or America or Australia or wherever, where the government is not Muslim but Muslims are not prevented by law from following their own religion. That is the definition of Darul Aman. Where there is Aman, there is peace for the Muslims. So the official law of the land is not the Sharia of Islam. But Muslims are not forced to follow that law. If the Muslims want to follow their own personal law, this is permitted in these countries. In India, it is actually legally permitted. We actually have the Muslim personal law. But even if you did not have that, for example, the Muslim personal law does not exist in America. But if a Muslim wants to follow Islam, there is no restriction on him. He can follow Islam. There is nothing to say that he should not follow Islam. So also in all the other countries. Contrast this, for example, with places like what used to happen. My understanding is nowadays it does not happen, but it used to happen for almost 70-80 years in Russia, where you were forcibly prevented from following Islam. Muslims were forced not to follow Islam. Masjids were closed, mazaris were closed. If a Muslim went to pray, he would be arrested and jailed and imprisoned. In Ramadan, they would be forced to eat food during the daytime when it is fasting time. What is happening in China, for example, now the Quran has been taken from people and so on. So where there is jabr on the Muslims, this is not Darul Aman. But where places like us, like India or any other place like this, where Muslims are permitted to follow their own laws, this is called Darul Aman. Now in such a situation where you are allowed to follow your own laws, what law should you follow as far as interest is concerned? Islamic law. Because this is what you are allowed to follow. Nobody prevents you. The government is not forcing you. State is not forcing you to say go against Islam. No. So what law must you follow? Darul Aman. You follow your own law, which is the Islamic law. And in the Islamic law, the lending of money on interest or borrowing money on interest is haram. So there is no question of interest being jaiz in Darul Aman. Third situation. The terminology that is used is what is called Darul Harb, which is place of war. Now, Darul Harb by definition means a place where Muslims are at war. So, either this would be a place which has been invaded and occupied. Take for example, Palestine, invaded and occupied by an enemy force. Take for example, Iraq, which is under American occupation. And places like this where there is an invading force which has occupied your land. And the Muslims who are in this land, because it is their land has been occupied by a foreign invader, the Muslims are fighting for their lives, they are fighting for their families, they are fighting for their country. Right? Now, in such a country, in such a situation, where is the question of borrowing and lending and so on? The question itself does not arise. Because if you are there in a place where there is a war, you can be only one of three things. You are either a refugee, your house and everything has gone, you are a refugee, or you are a prisoner, or you are a soldier. Which is the fourth possibility, tell me? Where is the question in a Darul Harb, right? If a place is defined as Darul Harb, where is the question of a fourth kind of person? You are not a soldier, you are not a refugee, and you are not a prisoner, then you are dead. I mean, what? Yeah, you are in the Qabristan. Where else? What is the fourth situation? So when people make this argument to say that such and such a place is Darul Harb, therefore interest is jais, my submission is this is a completely fallacious and stupid argument. It is a totally false argument. Because if it is Darul Harb, there is no question of any business in a Darul Harb, there are people are not setting up great corporations and running great companies. They are fighting for their lives. Or you are sitting in a jail somewhere. May Allah protect us from all of these things. Or you are a refugee carrying your saman on your head and trying to escape from the particular place, which is what we are seeing in Syria, for example. People are escaping. Take what is happening in Myanmar, in Burma. Do you think the Rohingya people are sitting there opening businesses and borrowing money and setting up shops and setting up corporations? They are fighting for their lives. They are being murdered. So Myanmar, as far as the Muslims are concerned, is Darul Harb. So what are they doing? They are doing business. They don't even have food to live. I mean, their people are rendered homeless. They are being slaughtered. Where is the question of borrowing money? So this whole argument of such and such a place is Darul Harb, therefore it is jais, this argument is completely stupid. And as I said, I mean, most welcome. Please follow whichever fatwa you want. Please understand two things. Number one is the fatwa does not change the hukum. Can be all the muftis in the entire world can get together and they can issue a fatwa to say from today interest is jais, it will not become jais. It is haram because Allah made it haram and that is the end of the story. Nobody on the face of the planet can change that. They can burn all the Qurans, they can do whatever they want. The hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu remains complete and sacrosanct, and that is the hukum on which we will be questioned on the day of judgment. There is no doubt about this. And the second one is that if you think, and this is the other argument, people say, no, I have got a fatwa. So if I am wrong, it is the mufti's fault. This again is a completely stupid argument. Islam does not have pujaris. Right? Islam does not have pujaris. Islam does not have a system where you go and give it to somebody and say, do puja for me. No. You are responsible. Every Muslim who is akhil and baligh, who has got a brain and who is matured, is responsible for himself or herself 100%. You can go to a mufti and ask for a fatwa. A fatwa is a legal opinion. Absolutely no problem. Take the legal opinion. But if the legal opinion is wrong, you are personally still liable before the law. Please understand this. Again, I'll give you an example. I go to so-and-so, this tax consultant, and I tell him my income for this year is 50 lakhs. Am I liable for income tax? He tells me, no problem. No need to pay any income tax. Am I liable for GST? No problem. No need for GST. You are free. This is Darul Harb. You don't have to pay anything. Can you give it to me in writing? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Here, take it by writing. What do you think will happen? When a time comes for tax assessment, do you think I will be assessed for tax or no? I will be assessed. And then I go to the income tax officer. No, hold on. Excuse me. I'm sorry. You can't. I have got this legal opinion from Mr. So-and-so to say that I am free from paying tax. The man will say, you can take this legal opinion and you can put it where the monkey put the nuts. As far as we are concerned, you are liable, you pay the tax, and now you pay it with penalty because you are in default. And if you don't do that, please, most welcome, you can be a state guest until the matter is resolved. Right? Legal opinion does not free you from the hukum. Legal opinion does not change the law. Please understand this. This whole argument about I have got a fatwa makes zero sense. Either in this dunya or the akhirah. You can have 100,000 fatwas. You can make all of them, stitch all of them together into your kafan. And when you die, you can roll yourself in the fatwas. You will still be liable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please understand this very carefully. You can't dump the blame on some mufti or some alim. If he gives you a fatwa, he knows why he is giving it. Please don't get misguided. It is your job. You are personally liable and responsible for what you do with your life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give this. La taziru waziratan wizra ukhra. Allah said, nobody will carry anybody else's burden. I am responsible for myself. Whatever I am doing, I am supposed to find out, make sure I do the right thing. I can't dump it on somebody else and say, I've got this one's fatwa, that one's fatwa. Does not work. And final point which I already made, since we are clarifying all of this together, I want to say it once more, so all of that is together and tomorrow we will develop this further, which is that in Islam, there is no concept of an income which is adulterated, some haram, some halal, all of this is okay, this is not Islam, please. Once again, no matter whose fatwa, makes no difference. If somebody says 15% of haram is jais, please ask him, are you willing to drink water with 15% of urine in it? If he is willing to drink it, make him drink it, then we'll see what we are talking about. So any issue of 15% is jais and 20% is jais is complete falsehood. There is no dalil for this. Islam is pure, Allah is pure, the Nabi is pure, the way of Allah and the way of Nabi is pure. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah is pure and he does not accept anything which is impure. Any adulteration in Islam is not permissible, either in aqidah or in ibadat or in muamilat. For example, nobody said that, you know, once in a while zina is all right, as long as it's 15% zina in your marriage, no problem. Don't do more than 15% of zina. Is this a qanun in Islam? Is it 15% of pork is okay? After that, beyond that, no problem. 15% of alcohol is okay? Beyond that, there is no problem. Is it 15% of telling lies is all right? 15% of deceiving is all right? How is this possible? Then how is 15% of haram income in the rest of it? How is it halal? I mean, these people who give these fatwas, may Allah protect us from them. Please understand this. As I told you, forget about anybody else. It's your life. You are personally responsible. It's your income. Keep it clean. If you don't keep it clean, if you mix it with something, then what you are doing is not from Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not permit us to mix some haram with some halal. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah is pure and he takes only which is pure, he accepts only which is pure. That which is in terms of ibadat or aqidah or muamilat or maasharat, we have to purify and clean ourselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, as I said, dua does not get accepted, ibadah don't get accepted, and then before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you stand, your name will be in the list of the enemies of Allah who have accepted a declaration of war from Allah and his Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. We'll come to that part of the ayat inshallah tomorrow and day after. Another thing which our clever creative brothers and sisters try to do is that they say that we are using, they put their money in fixed deposits in banks. They take that interest and they say that we are paying our tax with it, income tax with it. Now this again is haram, it is not permissible for a simple reason that, for example, if I told you that I have invested this much of money which I have in a liquor shop, in a bar, and the income from this bar I am using to pay my tax, would that be acceptable? No, because the investment in the bar itself is haram. The investment in that bar itself is haram, therefore that income from there is itself haram. You are not even allowed to invest in that bar. So where is the question of taking that income and using it to pay tax? So also investing in interest bearing bonds or fixed deposits or things like this is not permissible, it is haram. So therefore investing in it and then saying that you are paying your tax with it, all of these are trying to play games with the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which brings down the wrath and the wrath and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on us. I ask Allah to help us to stay far away from this. Don't play games with the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, I seriously advise you, do not play games with the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Be truthful and be sincere, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you barakah in your income. Play games and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to destroy riba. Please understand that. We'll come to this ayah tomorrow inshallah. But for now, I hope these clarifications are enough. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to understand the actual masail of the sharia, to stop being fooled, to stop fooling ourselves and being fooled by others or fooling others. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from ourselves and from shaitan. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.